Hello all, and thank you for joining Von Tobel Quality Growth's International Equity Podcast. I'm Ben Falcone, Client Portfolio Manager for Von Tobel Quality Growth, and I'm joined today by David Sukar, Portfolio Manager for International Equity here at Von Tobel Quality Growth. Well, David, look, to kick off, it's been quite a tumultuous quarter. You know, maybe just to start for our listeners, can you describe in general the performance that you've seen across just the international equity asset class?
Sure, Ben. Well, this has been an interesting quarter to say the least. I'll split the quarter in two parts. The first 2 months, it played as we expected. The quality clearly outperformed in a down market. And then in March, when the market realized that the virus was expanding aggressively outside China, then we saw the market panicking. And then we saw indiscriminate sell-off between quality and non-quality. So that's where we are right now. I think people are still trying to understand what's happening. And eventually, fundamentals will start playing again on how stocks move.
Yeah, so I think it'd be interesting just to give some insights, right? You're not seeing any real differentiation, as you described it, in performance amongst stocks. There's a little bit higher correlation and indiscriminate kind of sell-off. Is there any other time period that you can relate this type of indiscriminate sell-off to that reminds you of it?
The closest that I can think about is the financial crisis in 2009. I mean, in both cases, you saw panicking, and you saw a large impact to the global economy in a very short period of time. It's hard exactly to know, to compare, because we do not know yet the full ramifications of the coronavirus. But if I compare to the great financial crisis, I think there are some differences that's worth highlighting. One, the financial system today is in much better shape than it was in 2009. And this is important because it keeps the liquidity in the system. Second, I also think that the large corporations, at least, are in a stronger financial position. So they can survive a period of stress. And third, central banks and the federal governments are pumping large amount of money to the economy. And this is a big difference versus 2009 when they didn't know what to do. And they basically stood on the sidelines and watched, you know, Lehman Brothers going bankrupt. And I think this time they have a much better playbook. So I would say I am more optimistic this time versus 2009. But I don't want people to think this is going to be a walk in the park. I still expect to see a significant cut to earnings year over year. I'm talking about a magnitude of 20 to 30% downside to earnings because of a significant impact, specifically in the second quarter. But the recovery could be quicker than in 2009. Having said that, we don't think investors should build portfolio, make investment decisions based on the hope of what's going to happen in the economy. At the end of the day, what really matters is quality and having stocks that would perform and defend well in any type of scenario that comes our way.
Okay, so given those comments, David, and understanding that the market has been moving in an indiscriminate fashion, but you as an active manager, you know, this is an opportunity where you clearly know your investments and your businesses better than, say, a passive strategy. So during this, you know, amidst this time of volatility, how can you, you know, manage through this? Can you describe your process of how you manage through this and at the end of the day, provide for a potentially better outcome for clients in the long term?
So first, I think it's important for investors to have a disciplined approach. You need a game plan before you get into the crisis. You don't want to start making decisions based on fear. The second thing you want to make sure is that the companies in the portfolios have a balance sheet that will survive a long period of distress. Because at this point, no one really knows what is going to be the duration and the depth of the impact from the coronavirus. And finally, I would say that at the time when stock prices are disconnected from the real fundamentals of the business, it's important to find alternatives to measure performance, because stock prices are not necessarily a good indicator right now. And one measure is to compare the earnings revisions of the stocks versus the benchmark. And in a period like this, the earnings revisions are lower than those in the benchmark, so protecting better in the downside.
Okay, you mentioned balance sheet strength. Can you just go a little bit more in depth there? Because, you know, that is something that a lot of people are mentioning now. But how do you specifically determine, you know, a company's sustainability? For what you said, it's a time period where it's very difficult to analyze the timing and the depths of this crisis. So how do you go about determining that company's sustainability?
Yeah, that's a great question. It's a very important question right now, because you want to make sure the companies you invest are going to survive. Because the companies that survive, they're going to be in a stronger position to consolidate the market or gain share, etc. So the first thing you want to see is, even if you assume a significant decline to the revenues, the business will still generate enough cash flow to cover all the fixed costs and, if necessary, to pay down the debt in the short term, because we don't know if the banks will roll over the debt, if the capital markets will be open. So this is quite a conservative scenario, because in reality, companies have some flexibility to cut costs and save cash. But we run this conservative scenario on purpose, because if our company survived the stress test, then we know that we are on the right track. It's interesting, and here it's important to highlight the difference of active versus passive. Because when you own a concentrated portfolio, you know the names in the portfolio and you can run this type of analysis. But when you invest in an ETF, you don't know what you own, and it's hard for you to understand what the stocks you own in the ETF, in the basket, in the index, whatever, that are going to survive. And I also find interesting that when you run this type of test, you find that sometimes the markets overreact on the downside, and that's created an opportunity. So I give you an example. Ashtead is the market leader in rental of construction equipment in the U.S. It's clearly a cyclical business, but because it has a strong balance sheet, when things turn around, this company is really well positioned to consolidate the market, because many of the smaller players are not going to survive. And this stock is now trading at historical low valuations of 8x price to earnings. So when you understand the strength of the balance sheet and you understand the quality of the business, that's when you can take advantage of those opportunities.
Yeah, I just want to go further into that. So it sounds like, clearly from a concentrated portfolio, you have a much better understanding of your businesses and liquidity and sustainability. And I guess that hopefully gives you a better opportunity to make changes when prices dislocate like this. Can you talk about how you go about doing that? I mean, is that sometimes that's a wholesale change, or sometimes, you know, do you draw a line in the sand where you get aggressive? Maybe give some more insights to that process of how you've gone about, and maybe some examples of just where you have been able to make some changes.
I'll give you an example. Diageo is a global leader in the spirits market. And in 3 months, the company lost $35 billion of market cap. That's a 30% drop in the market cap. Now, I understand that consumption of spirits are going to fall during a lockdown, because people cannot go to bars or restaurants. But even if you lose a quarter of revenues, maybe two quarters of revenues, you can justify losing one third of your market cap. Like, you know, the market is assuming that one third of the profits are going to evaporate forever. This is not going to happen if you just struggle for two quarters. So those types of names in this type of sell-off is worth keeping an eye on.
As an increase in volatility, you should see turnover in the short term go up. So how do you know, this is a difficult process then, that how do you understand or how do you measure if your portfolio is optimized, right? If you think it's completely optimized and structured to benefit when we do get some kind of sense of market normalcy then?
So the goal in mind is very simple. First, we want a collection of the best businesses that we can find Second, we want businesses that have a higher degree of predictability, because if you do that, the volatility of your portfolio is going to be lower than the benchmark. Third, we want businesses that are more resilient, and that will help us to improve the downside protection. So we want businesses that are more resilient than those that you find in the benchmark on average. And lastly, we keep an eye on valuation, because we need to earn an absolute return on our investments. So valuation is a very important part of the process.
Yeah, so, and I guess from a timing perspective, right? So do you make a call of whether we are closer or further away from a recovery date? How do you think about timing in general?
Yeah, as we always say, it's really difficult to make investment decisions based on macro forecasts. And I think the coronavirus is a case in point. No one could have predicted that this would come and the impact that you have in the global economy. So all those forecasts in January are now completely obsolete. So when you invest, by definition, you're taking risk. But it's important to separate investment versus speculation. Investment is when you are taking calculated risk about the future. And I would say speculation is when you cannot quantify those risks. For example, I feel very confident in making a prediction for the sales for Nestle in the next 12 months than predicting the price of oil. You know, I know that Nestle sell products that are important for consumers for their day-to-day. I can see the long track record of Nestle, and I can use this as a reference for my forecast. But for the price of oil, there are so many variables that impact what's going to happen to the price of oil that it's impossible to have a consistent forecast.
Yeah, and it's definitely interesting. You bring up oil, right, and those types of business models. You see what happens when they turn south. Lastly, David, you know, do you feel like there's any particular geographic region or sector that you want to allocate to coming out of this? Is there anything that's going to benefit more, or do you think it's more just company by company at this point?
No, I think it's more company by company. It's studying business by business. But when you look in the aggregate, there are some sectors to prefer. For example, consumer staples is one of them. Healthcare, technology, more in the software space. And we find some interesting opportunities in the industrial segments of companies that are more service-oriented with a high percentage of recurring revenues.
That's great. That makes sense. You know, thank you for your time today. I guess before we turn off, I would like to ask you, though, you know, we are in a period now where you've just seen kind of market dislocations and it has been indiscriminate. Do you think, you know, what's the opportunity going forward? Do you think that fundamentals will start to shine through? I mean, we haven't really been through a reporting season yet from companies. You know, does this start to separate maybe the active manager from the passive manager going forward?
Yeah, absolutely. This is the time when the great businesses are going to shine. Because we're talking now about how companies are going to survive. The discussions that we're having with management is, you know, how much your revenues are going to go down, what's your cash flow, how is your balance sheet looking. And right now, stock prices are reacting based on emotions. But when the earnings season come along, we're going to see the businesses that have real resilience in their earnings power. So the first step is going to see who protect better in the downside. Which companies are going to report earnings that are going to come down less? And I say come down less because every business is going to be impacted. And then the second step is when things start to recover, those companies that survive are going to be able to invest more, are going to be able to consolidate, to gain market share, and they're going to get out stronger out of this crisis.
No, I agree. The market right now is really, as we stand here with a few days left in the quarter, is reacting all to information on COVID-19. And I think we're going to start going into a period where it's going to start reacting more on information from a business by business and how they're dealing with it. So listen, David, thank you so much for your insights today. And thank you all for participating in this call. We look forward to updating you at the end of the second quarter with more information and how international markets continue to perform in this tumultuous kind of time period. Thank you all. Be healthy and stay safe. Bye-bye.
Disclosure. This recording is for information purposes only, and nothing contained in this recording should constitute a solicitation or offer or a recommendation to buy or sell any investment instruments, to affect any transactions, or to conclude any legal act of any kind whatsoever. Except as permitted under applicable copyright laws, none of this information may be reproduced, adapted, uploaded to a third party, linked to, framed, performed in public, distributed, or transmitted in any form by any process without the specific written consent of Vontobel Asset Management. To the maximum extent permitted by law, Vontobel will not be liable in any way for any loss or damage suffered by you through use or access to this information, or Vontobel's failure to provide this information. Our liability for negligence, breach of contract, or contravention of any law as a result of our failure to provide this information or any part of it, or for any problems with this information, which cannot be lawfully excluded, is limited, at our option and to the maximum extent permitted by law, to resupplying this information or any part of it to you, or to paying for the resupply of this information or any part of it to you. Keep in mind that past performance is not a reliable indicator of current or future performance, and forecasts are inherently limited and should not be relied upon as an indicator of future performance.